Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our Palm Sunday service. We're going to look at Luke 19, 37 to 44. We typically, on Palm Sunday, look solely at the beginning of this passage, but we rarely look at the verses that end up to verse 44. And so I would like to do that for us, and you can follow along on the screen. And then I do want to pray together as a church community. There are a lot of things that we need to join our hearts and lift it up to our Heavenly Father, and then we'll jump in this message together. Psalm 19, 37, we'll actually start like 38. So if you can put that on the screen. Blessed is a king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Not the most familiar passage that we often read, especially on Palm Sunday when it's all about celebrating. It is about celebrating as we come to the final week of Lent and enter into what Christians refer to as Holy Week, the last week as we head toward the crucifixion of Jesus and the glorious resurrection as well. With that, will you join me in a word of prayer, and we'll continue on with our message. Lord, we want to thank you for our men and women and children that are gathered here this morning on a Sunday where we, with jubilation and excitement and joy, proclaim that you are King. But Lord, in the midst of waiting for your return, we live in a world that is still broken and lost and hurting. Lord, this past week, we think about the tragedy in Nashville, where 6 people lost their lives at the Covenant Presbyterian Church School. Lord, our hearts break, and we often don't know why things like this happen. But we pray for that community in Nashville. We pray for those that lost loved ones. We pray for all houses of worship in all schools as our nation has been plagued with violence such as this. Lord, we cry out to you, Hosanna. Save us. Save us from ourselves. Save us from sin. Save us from the brokenness that resides in every human heart and injustice. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather once again, and the brokenness in our lives and world makes us long to cry out, Hosanna to the highest, with great, great passion. And so we need you, Lord. So visit us once again, even today, as we prepare to approach your table in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and as together as one family, We humble ourselves before you, Jesus. Heal our nation, Lord. Heal the Nashville community. And heal all of our hearts represented here this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Palm Sunday would not be complete without looking at these last few verses as Jesus not only enters into Jerusalem, but pauses and looks out at this ancient, beautiful, storied city called Jerusalem. And here, don't miss this, he weeps over it. We often don't hit that passage when we think about Palm Sunday. It's all about the palm raising and shaking of the leaves, welcoming Jesus, and it needs to be that. But don't forget about this passage that happens that Jesus looks at the city that just welcomed him with jubilation and joy, and he weeps. What in the world is going on here? And he sees something that's going to happen in a few short decades. And historically, what happened in AD 70 was that the Romans came and completely annihilated this city, this ancient city of Jerusalem, killing thousands upon thousands, including children. It's shocking. It dampens the Palm Sunday spirit. But what is going on here? Jesus weeping. And because he knows the future, sees that which is going to happen in a few short decades, that this city would be utterly destroyed by the Roman armies. And the reason why is verse 44. They will not leave one stone upon another in you. Some translations, not one stone unturned. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. You did not know the time of your visitation. They failed to recognize that the Messiah had come. Even with the jubilation, even with the palms raising, shouting Hosanna, in the end, in a few days, they would scream out, do away with him, crucify him, kill this fake Messiah. And to the cross, Jesus would go. And in a few short years, judgment would come. In AD 70, Google it if you don't believe me, what happened to Jerusalem in AD 70. And Jesus says, because you did not know the time of your visitation. The first visitation, the advent of Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, the King. And quite simply, I just want to take that and have us reflect just for a minute or two as we're together at the start of Holy Week. And it's this, and we'll put it up on the screen. I believe that this was the greatest missed opportunity in all of human history. The Messiah, the Son of God, God in the flesh, to dwell among his people for 33 years, 3 years showing signs of the kingdom, preaching and teaching with power and authority that they've never seen before in their Jewish rabbis, to heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, heal the lame, show love and forgiveness to the sinner, the outcast, the least, the last, the lost. And even in the midst of that, they did not recognize him and receive him as their Savior and King. Why is that? Because ultimately, in the very midst of, yes, some excitement, controversy, confusion, all those beautiful things when Jesus first came, it boiled down to this. The cross did not fit for them. The cross did not fit in their understanding of their Savior, their Deliverer, and their Messiah. The cross did not fit. And so they rejected Jesus. It was the greatest missed opportunity in history. When all of us cry out, "Where are you, God? If I could only see you, if you'd only come and heal my mom, if you could only come and show me love when I have been rejected all my life. If you are there, God, if there really is a God, show it to me, prove it to me." And he did. But because the cross did not fit, they rejected him. This could not be the Messiah that we have been waiting for, to end ingloriously nailed naked upon the Roman cross. Impossible. That could not be the one we're waiting for. And judgment would come. Their city would be destroyed. Men, women, and children would be killed. Exactly what Jesus said took place in AD 70. They did not know the time of the visitation of the Son of God. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. As we, 2,000 years later, followers of the way, followers of Jesus, believers, and maybe some who aren't sure if you're a believer or not, my invitation is this: to ask ourselves, how can we miss Jesus as well? Pastor, how can I miss Jesus in this final Holy Week as we are gathered here on Sunday, as we prepare to celebrate Good Friday here, as we take communion together, as we worship? There's no way that I could miss Jesus. Well, yes, there is. And I just want us to briefly reflect as we draw near to the end of our time together and prepare for the sacrament of communion. How can we miss Jesus even in this coming Holy Week? First of all, fall into the routine. This is what we always do as tradition. We celebrate Easter, we come out to church at Christmas. This is what we do. Yes, the cross, a little inconvenient, but we can't wait for Easter, family, friends, the meal, the celebration, the Easter egg hunt, all those wonderful things. This is just what we do. Please don't let it be routine this year. Please just don't do it because it's your tradition and this is what your family normally does. Easter, Christmas, Easter, Christmas. But take time to really look at Jesus. Don't fall into the same old and the routine of this is just what we do. But let the story and life of Jesus utterly disrupt your life. May the violence of what happened to him, may the claims of who he said he was, may it disturb and break up our routines and interrupt our lives even in this coming week. Don't fall into the routine of Jesus. Secondly, at the same time, don't make it just about you and Jesus. And that sounds counterintuitive for us who are serious about our faith. I want to deeply fall into introspection of my life and sin, and I want to really grow closer to God this week. And those are good things. Please do that. But please don't do it in isolation, just you and God, you and God, you and God. Individualism in your spiritual life. Yes, do draw closer to Jesus, but remember that as we do that together. As we draw near to him, we will be drawn near to one another. Don Whitney said this: there's an element of worship and Christianity that cannot be experienced in private worship or by watching worship. There are some graces and blessings that God gives only in the meeting together with other believers. So don't let it be just an exercise in your devotion and being blessed by God and drawing closer to Jesus. Yes, do that, but do it in the context of community, of corporate worship, of fellowship, of friendship with your brothers and sisters in your spiritual family. That is critically important. Even Martin Luther, the great reformer, said that at times when he was by himself at his home, that there was little warmth, there was little vigor in himself, there was coldness. But when in the company of the church family, where multitudes were gathered, a fire is kindled in my heart and it breaks its way through. Don't let this week just be about you and your devotion to Jesus. Yes, grow in your devotion to him, but don't do it divorced from your greater family of faith. Let's do it together. Thirdly, how can you miss Jesus this week? You can sentimentalize the cross. We get so used to the symbols. We think about Easter and the bunny rabbit and the white cross that it becomes almost cute to us, something that gives us the warm fuzzies. Put a white cross on it, that's one of ours, and we feel good about it. We sentimentalize the cross. In a world and culture and time where multimedia, social media, films, as all things that you can visually see and experience, I'm very cautious with what my kids watch. And just like many of your parents out there, you will go to Common Sense Media, you'll go to different websites and evaluate a movie lest they get exposed to something disturbing or inappropriate. You want to protect your children, and I get that, and I do that as well, and your grandchildren. But if we really understood what is happening here, the cross is not something to be sentimentalized. It should utterly disturb us and shake us to the point where we almost want to protect our children from the cross because it is so violent, it is so disturbing, and it is so grossly unjust that we have a trepidation and an anxiety and nervousness to share the story of Jesus. We must do that, yes. But if we really understood what that cross represents, we would, with great trembling and anxiety and trepidation, begin to share the story of Jesus and the cross with ourselves, our children, and our grandchildren because of what really took place on that Friday. Let us not get warm fuzzies when we think about the cross, but rather with great broken heart and spirit, realize what the Son of God went through for you and I. And with tears and with, yes, great thanksgiving, we revisit the cross this coming week. The worst form of execution for the common criminal is what Jesus went for you and I. May it never become a feel-good symbol, but may constantly erupt in our hearts a disturbance, a holy disturbance, when we look at it, when we reflect on it, when we share the message of the cross to our children and grandchildren, this cup of suffering that Jesus took upon himself is because of his love for you and I. Please don't let it become a symbol that makes you feel good and Easter warm fuzzies. For Paul reminds us that he is not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Gentile. Fourthly, Please don't neglect the word. If you neglect the word, you will miss Jesus. We come together as a corporate body, as in a family, to reflect, to worship. But my challenge this week, no matter how diligent or how inconsistent that you have been in the reading of God's word, take time this week to allow God's living word to speak to your heart. And I put this out there, if you do not have a specific Holy Week reading plan set in place, some of you, a lot of you do, and that's awesome. If you don't, I invite you to join me in reading just one chapter of John's Gospel a day, starting in John 15. So tomorrow, Monday, John 15, Tuesday, John 16, and we'll end with John 21, Sunday morning. If I did the math correctly, take a few minutes and pray, God, speak to me and help me to know and see Jesus. One chapter this week, a day. John 15, and then John 21, Sunday morning, and join us. He will reveal himself to you. He will speak to you. He will transform you. Don't go through this week apart from God's living word. Don't neglect the word. And finally, don't be too busy for Jesus. In all the things that we have to do in this coming week, and with Easter around the corner, and even for us who are on staff as we get ready to welcome probably a good-sized congregation and crowd and friends coming for Easter Sunday service, I want to challenge myself and our staff and our leaders and all of you, please don't miss Jesus by being so busy for Jesus. William Carey, the great missionary, said that prayer is the secret. It is fervent, believing prayer that lies at the root of all personal godliness. And so in the midst of being busy in your lives and being busy for Jesus, please don't be too busy for him that you fail to look at him, hear his voice, and meet him in a fresh new way. Hear his words in Luke 24, 39 through 40. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Please don't fall into the routine of Easter and Christmas. Please don't make it just about you and Jesus. Draw closer together as we together draw nearer to Jesus with your church family. Please don't sentimentalize the cross. Let it wreck you once again. Let it disturb you. Let it take you apart as we see the injustice, the heinousness of sin, the price that was paid that we could be restored back to God. Don't neglect his word this week. And for those that don't have a reading plan set for this Holy Week, join me in just one chapter of John's Gospel a day, starting tomorrow, John 15, then John 16, then John 17, 18, 19, 20, and then 21. Read, encounter him, meet him once again, not because I said something or we sing about it, but you heard it and read it through God's living word. Let it transform you. That's where the power is. He is alive, and he reveals himself through his word. And please don't be so busy for Jesus that we fail to take time to be alone, yes, with him and with our family and in the corporate body, to pause and let him speak and reveal himself to you and I. I pray that when we gather back together next Sunday, it will be the words of Isaac Watts, that great hymn writer that says, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." May that be our prayer as we re-encounter the living Jesus this coming Holy Week. Amen. For those of you that are joining us via live stream, we're so glad you're with us. And we want to invite you to prepare to join us to celebrate the Lord's Supper as we together as a church body, and even those joining us via live stream, can celebrate what Jesus has done for us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And so if we can all rise at this time and together with the saints throughout the history of the church, we'll say together the Apostles' Creed. Together now. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Taken from the Westminster Confession of Faith, written in the 1600s, based on 1 Corinthians 15. We proclaim and affirm that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, death is swallowed up in victory. And so we cry out, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will you join me in a word of prayer as we prepare to approach the table and celebrate our Jesus, our living Lord, and our Savior together as a church family? Lord, we invite your presence here as we often fall into a slumber when it comes to the things of God. And I pray that this will not just be an ordinary week, Lord. I pray that we will not just live our lives because this is what we always do during Easter and during Christmas. But I pray that you would visit us in a special way through your word, through the corporate body, the church, through this sacrament at this time, Lord. May the cross once again scandalize us. May it disturb us. May it wreck us when we see true love displayed on that Roman cross. And so I pray that all of us would once again take a deep, hard look at the most heinous act of injustice, the crucifixion of the Son of the living God. And may it so disturb us that it wakes us up out of our sin, out of our spiritual slumber, and may we learn to run back to you with hearts and arms open wide. My Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, how I love. So visit us, Lord, now as we approach your table, as we're reminded at the beginning of this final week, Holy Week, as you approach the city of Jerusalem, yes, with the crowds we shout, Hosanna, save us. Glory to God in the highest, the King of Kings. But may we not miss seeing Jesus this coming week in the midst of all that is going on and taking place in our lives. May we not miss Jesus in the midst of the violent and the disturbing events that are constantly happening in our nation and world. May we see the one who has come to join us and walk in our suffering with us. You are Emmanuel, God, with us. And so we thank you and invite you into our very presence here. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we'll invite you forward. Our ushers will invite you row by row from the front to the back, and you'll approach our stations, and you will be handed into your hands some bread and the juice. And if you could take it there, and then what would help us a lot is if you can drop the cups off in one of the trash cans here or in the back. If you're going to take it back to your seat for further reflection, you can do that, but please remember to help us by disposing of the cups on your way out. Just makes it a lot easier for our staff as we want to keep things clean and smooth as we prepare for this coming Holy Week. And if there's anyone that is not sure where they are with God, who is Jesus, if you are a committed Christian and you would need some prayer for anything, for your life or your family, there will be myself and members of our prayer team on both sides of the stage, and we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. And if you are not able to come forward, please raise your hand and we will bring the elements to where you are sitting so that no one is amiss during this time. So with that, please hear the words of the Apostle Paul on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He took bread and after he had given thanks, broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took a cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." And so this is the Lord's table, and he himself invites you to come. And if you do know and love Jesus, even if your love has been a bit weak, we invite you to come. And if you are not sure where you are with Jesus, come talk with myself, members of our prayer team. We would love to pray with you and speak to you regarding the life that Jesus offers to those who come by faith to trust him. If I can invite our communion service forward at this time, we'd like to invite you to come and celebrate the greatest victory of all. When we all rise as we prepare to close out, and I will close out with a benediction. Lord Jesus, we come before you during the beginning of this Holy Week, and we pray that you would reveal yourself to us in a fresh, new, and powerful way. May we not miss the true biblical Jesus, even in the midst of being busy for Jesus. And may we, as we once again meet you again through your word and through worship and through prayer, may you renew us once again. And so we leave this place asking that this new week, especially as we take time to look into your word, for those of us that will read through John 15 through 21 and other scripture, speak to us and reveal yourself to us. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father, may the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be upon you as you leave this place. May God bless you and your family in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all this Holy Week. Thank you so much.